When I was a kid, growing up, I had a dream job. Any of you have like something growing up? Like, let me ask a question. When you were growing up, what did you want to be? What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be like doctor or astronaut or fireman or policeman or nurse or something like that? For me, my job was to be a baseball player for the Cincinnati Reds. And I'm still waiting for that call. I haven't heard yet. Still waiting, but you know what's interesting? This past week, I was reading an article. It was from The Entrepreneur. I had never heard of The Entrepreneur before, but the article was entitled, Generation Z's Main Career Aspiration Is... And I thought, man, that sounds interesting. Generation Z, those born from 1997 all the way to 2012, currently ages 13 to 28 years old, what do they want to be when they grow up? Any guesses on what they want to be when they grow up? The majority, 57% of the people that were polled, those Gen Zers, wanted to be social media influencers. Social media influencers. Now, for some of you, you might not have a clue on what a social media influencer is, so let me elaborate for you. And I don't know a whole bunch about it, but I can tell you that it's someone that goes on social media platforms, someone that goes on maybe Instagram or TikTok or X or Facebook or you know, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. And they go on some of these platforms, and what they'll do is they'll share video or sometimes audio content. Usually it's about something that they're passionate about. It might be something like fashion or beauty or health and fitness, travel, technology, gaming, business, finance, parenting, family, home, lifestyle, entertainment, pop culture, you name it. There's somebody that's talking about it. There's somebody that's trying to be an influencer about it. And so these individuals, they go online, they share all this video, audio content, and people will subscribe to their channels, to these influencers' channels, and they will watch or listen to hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of their content. And you know what's crazy is that because of advertisements, these influencers are able to make thousands upon thousands of dollars all from the comforts of their own home. And you know, for us that are, you know, above the age of the Gen Zers, we're thinking, well, you need to go get a real job. Well, they're making just as money, if not more, than us. So, but you know, as I was reading this article and just hearing that desire, I think there's a great desire for all of us. We want to influence people in our lives. But I think there was one question that stood out to me, and the question is this: where are the Christian influencers? Where are the Christian influencers? I'm not just talking about social media. I'm talking about in general. Where are the Christian influencers? Because everyone, not just even younger generations, I'm talking about every single person in this room, is influenced by somebody or something. We're all influenced. We might not say, oh, you know, I'm not influenced by somebody. And you might say, oh, I'm not influenced by anybody on social media. I don't even go on social media. Well, some of you might watch TV. Some of you might read articles of things that people write. We're all influenced by somebody. It might not just be people that we know from an external point of view. There might be people in our own lives, people that are close to us, that influence us, that change us, that shape us, that mold us into the people that we are today. But the kicker is there are so many people today, because life is so complicated and it's so difficult to navigate, that people are looking more than ever for coaches. They're looking for mentors. They're looking for people to help them navigate through life and be able to take on the challenges that are at play. And yet the sad point is that I think a lot of people, though they're looking for influences, they're looking in all the wrong places. Where are the Christian influencers? I think all of us in this room want to make a difference in the world. I think all of us want to make an impact in people's lives. We want to take what God has really put innate within us and the passions that we have and be able to communicate that with other people and be able to share and make an impact on other people. But the question I think for all of us as followers of Jesus comes to this, of how, as a follower of Jesus, am I able to influence others to follow Jesus in everyday life? Because some of us, we just don't know how to do it. We don't know how. You know, last week we introduced this new series called Living Testimony. And as we go along this series, there's going to be one question that we're revolvingly asking, and it's this: God, how do you desire for me to be a living testimony, a living, breathing influence in other people's lives where you have placed me to be? How can I be a living testimony? Last Sunday, we started to learn about this band of newer followers called the Thessalonians. That even though they were newer followers of Jesus, they were facing intense persecution and opposition. And yet, they not only had this great faith in Jesus, but it was so rooted that it ends up leading to a sacrificial love for other people. It leads to a hope that's not in their circumstances, but it's a hope that goes beyond the grave. And yet, we'll learn today that this ragtag band of Christ followers in Thessalonica are taking the world by storm. They are changing the world. In fact, they are the first century version of social media influencers. And they are doing it not through fashion, not through health, not through business or entertainment. They are influencing people spiritually, and they're doing it all without social media. How in the world did they do it? That's what we're going to learn this morning. And we're also going to learn how we can do the same thing just as they did today. If you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to look at the latter half of verse 5 and go all the way to the end of the chapter. We'll read it together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 5. You know, Thessalonians, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you Thessalonians, you became imitators of us, of Paul, Silas, Timothy. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, yet with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth for you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord. So, the question: how did the Thessalonians spiritually influence the world? What you need to realize first is that before we can spiritually influence others, we need to look up to other spiritual influencers. Before we can spiritually influence other people, we need to look up to spiritual influencers. This is what Paul's talking about in verse 5. He says, you know, Thessalonians, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. That Paul, Silas, Timothy, they were examples to them for your sake. And listen to this, verse 6. And you became imitators, you became models, you became examples to two groups of people that were influencing them. The groups were us, Paul, Silas, Timothy were influencing them, but also the Lord. We have two major influences: the Lord, as from a spiritual sense, the Lord, and other spiritual godly people. Let's look at this one at a time. Let's start with Jesus. Let's start with the Lord first. You know, I think it's obvious, it should be obvious, that Jesus should be one of the major influences in our lives. Should be. And yet I think for many of us, we don't really go to him as our number one go-to source for influencing. In fact, that's why so many influencers are out there, because other people are listening to all these other influencers. Why would we rather go to them than to Jesus? Well, I think with Jesus, you know, when we hear some of the things that he shares in the Gospels, you know, we hear things that sometimes we don't understand. It's complicated. And then there's other things that he shares that, yeah, we understand, but man, that's difficult. To share the nature of all the things that he commands and calls us to. You know, things like loving our neighbor as ourself, man, or loving our enemies, man, we don't like that. We'd rather go to somebody else. We'd rather find a shortcut to our Christianity. And so that's what we do. We go to other people and other places. And the reality is, I think for some of us, we have no clue what Jesus says. If we were to ask ourselves, when's the last time that we opened up our Bibles, it might not be a pretty answer. And listen, I think for a lot of us, you know, we try the best that we can. I'm not discrediting that. But if we really want to imitate Jesus, we need to have a genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus. And that takes more than 5 minutes a day. If you tried to spend 5 minutes a day with your spouse, and that's it, how do you think that relationship would be going? Probably pretty poor. And that's the same case with the relationship with Jesus. And it's not just reading for 5 minutes and being done. There's this concept with Christianity that I think is misconstrued in other religions, but is so important. It's this concept of meditation. And meditation isn't trying to empty our minds of where there's nothing and you're trying to get tranquility. This idea of meditation for the Christian is taking what Jesus says, what God says is in his word, and actually filling our minds with the things that he says and letting it percolate day and night. In fact, that's what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't follow the influencers of the world, rather, that delights in his law day and night. It's only then that he will grow, that he will blossom. We need to be individuals that seek after not only God's word, but actually spend time thinking about him in the avenues of life and the things that we're doing and interacting, actually thinking about what he says and how it applies to life. And this is really the hang up. I think for a lot of us, we say, Adam, I love the sentiment, I love it all, but I just don't have the time to do it. Trust me, I get it. Life is busy. Life is crazy. I really get it. But can I ask you something? If we were to take a scope of your, if we were to evaluate 24 hours of your day for one full day, and we were to evaluate how you lived your life in that day, we were to evaluate, take out work, take out your free space, free time, and we were to evaluate, all right, how productively, how wisely did you use your time? Where would we find our time? Would we find it actually just like the influencers on social media, on TV, or reading articles? I think a lot of us, we're just tempted. The reality is, it has nothing to do with time, does it? It has nothing to do with the time that we spend or how much time we have. It has everything to do with what we value. How you use your time is rooted and grounded in what you value. If we want to be imitators of Jesus, if we want to have a genuine, authentic relationship with him, we need to spend time with him and prioritize him. It's intentional. It's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of days that I fail at this too. But if we want to be imitators of Jesus, if we want to impact the world, boy, we need to spend time with him. Not just doing stuff for him, being with him. But Jesus isn't the only one that molds our lives, is it? In fact, there's other people in our lives, as it was for the Thessalonians, that end up leading to their spiritual growth. People like Paul and Silas and Timothy, these Thessalonians were becoming imitators of them. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So there's other people in our lives that become spiritual influencers, people that are Christian influencers. But, you know, I think for Paul and Silas and Timothy, they looked at these Thessalonians. They saw that they were newer believers. They saw that they needed coaching. They needed guiding. They needed mentoring. They needed somebody to look up to. And so they really became the Christian big brothers for them. They took them under their wing, showed them what it looks like, not only to share what Jesus is, what he did, who he is. More than that, it had everything to do with how they were living as well. They shared their very lives with them. And that's really Christianity. It's not just a convictions of what we believe. It has everything to do with how we embody that belief. And so we see that these guys, Paul, Silas, Timothy, they come in, they bring them under their wing, and we start to notice that we start to see this with other people, where when other people come along us, especially those that are a little bit further down the road in Christianity, who are spiritually mature in their faith, we start to gravitate towards them. And we start to hear how they talk. We start to see how they walk. not just physically, but like spiritually, how they walk. And we start to see that how they are living is completely different than how the rest of the world is living. And honestly, it's really attractive. It's really sweet to see those things. And people start to gravitate. That's what happened with the Thessalonians. It was like a gravitational force that gravitated them towards them. So much so that they, as they started to hear how they talked and how they acted and how they lived, it started to transform how they started to talk and act and live. They became imitators, models, examples for them. You know, I've heard this quote before that says, "You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with." You are the average of the five people you most spend time with. You know what that means? That those five people tend to be the ones that shape you and mold you the most. They tend to lead you in how you act and how you live. I'm not saying it's completely, but they tend to influence you big time. Who are those five people? Are they influencing you positively? Are they influencing you to live for Jesus? Or are they talking and acting like the rest of the world? Maybe we need to do an evaluation today of our friends. And I'm not just talking about the people that we hang out with day-to-day life. I'm talking about the people that we're even listening on social media and elsewhere. Those are people, those are influences, sometimes more than our own friends. Some of us today say, you know, I seriously, Adam, I really do want to know about this Christianity thing. I want to learn the Bible. I just have such a difficult time understanding it. Like, I really do want to know. But I don't have someone that can help me. Some of you are looking for a spiritual mentor. Some of you are looking for a guide, someone that's just a little bit further down the road that can help you along the way. If that's you, can you do me a favor? I'm gonna pull this out a lot today. The green card that's right in front of you, in the back seat in front of you, do this. Write your name and write spiritual mentor. And then put in one of the black boxes at the end of the service. We want to connect you with a spiritual mentor. Men, there should be somebody in our lives that is spiritually leading us and guiding us and really being our mentor. Ladies, same thing. Finding a lady that's ahead of you spiritually down the road. And it really doesn't have a whole bunch to do with age more than it does spiritual maturity. Who are those people that are further down the road that you can say, hey, I want to follow you as you are following Jesus? That's you, on the card, your name, spiritual mentor. We want to connect you with one. We want you to be growing in your walk with Jesus. We want you to know what it's like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. But the question then becomes, okay, how do I know who to follow? You want to try and find a spiritual mentor, but you just don't know who the right person is to choose. I'll give you some wisdom. It's the wisdom that we can see with the Thessalonians here. The best role models, the best influencers are the ones who not only live out what they believe, but they live it out even when it gets difficult. We see that in verse 6. They became imitators of Paul, Silas, and Timothy in the Lord for you, Thessalonians, just as Paul did, just as Jesus did, you received the word, even though you were facing much affliction, and despite all of that, you received the word with what? With joy of the Holy Spirit. Countercultural, isn't it? They're receiving affliction for following Jesus, and yet they have joy because they are following God's word. What kind of affliction are these individuals facing? Let's rewind the clock and learn a little bit more about these Thessalonians. There's two things that were really afflicting the Thessalonians in their day. These tension points that were happening where you had to choose between Jesus or choose between something else. The first thing that was that caused affliction between other people for following Jesus is this idea of Greek god worship. We'll come back to that at the end of the service. The second, which was just as vital and engrossed in the culture, is this idea of political leader worship, also known as imperial cult worship. Imperial cult worship. And you need to understand the context because the Thessalonians were under the rule of a Roman regime. The Roman Empire, the greatest empire of the world at the time. These Thessalonians, they had a checkered past with these Romans. There were some times where it went well, sometimes it didn't with them. But at this point in history, the Thessalonians are on good terms with these Romans. In fact, in the city of Thessalonica, they had something, because they were loyal to the Romans, that the Thessalonians had what was called free city status. Free city status, what does that mean? Free city status for them meant that they were exempt from Roman taxation. Can you imagine not having to pay your taxes anymore? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Man, that'd be awesome. They were exempt from that. They didn't have to pay taxes. But more than that, you know, because, we have these pictures of these Roman soldiers that are always in your way and getting your way. For the free city status, they didn't have Roman soldiers that were in their path all the time. They weren't within city walls, so they can operate the way that they wanted to. In other words, you had the benefits of being under a Roman regime, and yet you didn't have any of the cost whatsoever. And it got to the point where, you know, this started to cause an issue. You know, I've always heard it said, there's two things you don't bring up at the dinner table. You know what those two things are? Religion and politics. Very good. And yet with the Thessalonians, in their world, they were inseparable. You had to talk about it. Because the person that was in charge of the nation, that was the emperor of Rome, was also the one that you worshiped. This picture is Caesar Augustus. You've probably heard about him from grade school. Caesar Augustus was not only considered one of the greatest leaders in Roman civilization, but what you need to notice, because they worshiped him, that he became really their savior. He became their Messiah. In fact, they saw him as divine. They saw him as God. They saw him as king. So I want you to imagine with me that you're in Thessalonica, you understand the context that we're in now, and imagine that word came around that another king was coming into town, and he was going to start a new kingdom, a kingdom that would usurp all other kingdoms, including Rome. If you're one of the Thessalonians, you start to feel the tension, don't you? Because they have to choose between one or the other. Do you choose to follow the political leader? Do you choose to follow the Augustuses or the Caesars of the world? Or do you follow this other king? And notice, if you choose to follow this other king, you might have to lose all those benefits of a free city status. There's a cost there. So you can imagine, when Paul, Silas, Timothy, they arrive into Thessalonica, they start sharing about there's this new savior. There's this new Messiah. There's this new king. We see some tension, so much so that when these guys are sharing about it, if you go to Acts chapter 17, if you have your journals, write it in here, Acts 17, verse 6, it gets to the point when they start hearing about these things. They dragged followers of Jesus. They dragged Jason. They dragged some of the other believers before the city authorities, and they start shouting, listen to this, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason, this follower of Jesus, has received them. He's received Paul. He's received Silas. He's received Timothy. These people that are sharing an anti-Roman message, an anti-Caesar message, and they are all acting against the decrees of who? Caesar, saying this, that there is another king, Jesus. The battle of the kings is at war. As a Thessalonian, you have one choice. You pick one. You either choose Caesar or you choose Jesus, but you can't choose both. And it led to so many of them, so many of the Thessalonians, when they heard this, they were disturbed. That's why they kicked them out of town, Paul and Silas and Timothy. That's why they dragged them into the streets. And we start to see the tension. And yet, there's a few Thessalonians that were there that end up becoming followers of Jesus. And yet, what do we see? They received the word of Jesus. And yet, despite the persecution they faced, there was much what? Much joy. There's much joy. You know what's interesting? Is that God has a way of using the tough things in our lives, the times where we have to face great trial in these circumstances that we face, God uses these tough times as a way not only to help you persevere, but a way to help advance his kingdom. It's a way to be able to share his message further. In fact, it's more than just me preaching on a Sunday. It's actually the experiences of individuals when they face the toughest of times and yet they persevere. God uses those things. He uses those stories and he makes an incredible impact in the world. We see this with the Thessalonians. They're facing these incredibly difficult things. They have to make a choice. Am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to follow Caesar? They choose Jesus. They choose the cost and they know that Jesus is greater. And yet they follow him. They don't know what's at the end of the tunnel. And yet what do we see? Verse 7, their story starts to spread like wildfire. Verse 7, that they started to become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. In Thessalonica, around in that time, there were around 200,000 people in the city. In this one little dot right here, 200,000 people. And yet, where did it say that it went to? To Macedonia. This whole orange space right here into Achaia. Isn't that incredible? How do you become a Christian influencer? You follow God and trust him. God does the rest of the work. Isn't that crazy? He didn't, you know, no one needed social media to share their platform, that the people, they started to hear stories. Paul was going around down south to Achaia, towards Athens, towards Corinth, and he would hear these stories of like, hey, did you hear about the Thessalonians? Did you hear what they've been experiencing? Did you hear how they overcame? Did you hear how they trusted Jesus despite all the things that they're facing? No YouTube, no TikTok, no Facebook, no Instagram, nothing. And yet they did it in two simple ways. You want to know how to change the world? Two simple ways. They're so simplistic, and yet for many of us, they're so difficult. Two ways. Paul shares, verse 8, that not only has the first way, that the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, sharing a message with people, verbally, with your words, but your faith, your example in God, has gone forth everywhere. Sharing words, sharing truth, sharing the good news of Jesus with people is one, but also living that example out is two. That's how you change the world. Through your example and through your speech, you change the world. And these Thessalonians, they're going around to family and their friends and their coworkers and the people that they just do life with. And they start to share how Jesus has changed their life. And they start sharing about what Jesus did for them and the hope that he provides to them. And you know, we need to be frank here. We have the opportunity of a lifetime in a 21st century culture where we have every opportunity to share the gospel with every single person on the planet. We have the prime opportunity more than ever before. And yet, many of us shy away from it. Me included. We shy away from it. Why do we shy away from it? Why don't we share about our faith? Why don't we do any of that? I think, you know, a lot of it might be we're afraid of what people might think or say. And as a church, my desire is for us to be sharing our stories with one another. What I want you to notice is that this wasn't just about sharing their salvation story. This wasn't for the Thessalonians. This isn't what was happening. They did have a salvation story. It was a powerful salvation story, but it was more than that. Their story that was changing the world was how they were, in spite of following Jesus, in spite of the opposition, they were persevering. It was a portion, it was a segment of their story. It wasn't the whole story. It was a portion of it. And yet God was using it. Church, I really want to be a church that shares stories. I think, and I know, there are hundreds upon thousands of stories in this room. Stories of how God has been shaping you and molding you and working in you. And you have an opportunity to share it with other people. And listen, a month ago, I challenged, this was during announcements, we would love to start sharing stories, testimonies of how God is changing your life, how God is working in your life. How you know, there might be something that you are facing. Maybe you're in the midst of it, you're facing it. And yet, God is working in it. Maybe you've gotten from out of the tunnel. Maybe you haven't. But listen, God uses your story. He will use it oftentimes more than just preaching on Sunday. You can bring people to church all you want. That's great. But you know how God really changes a lot of people? It's through you sharing your story of how Jesus has changed your life. That's how he changes it. You know why? Because there's a relational aspect to it. There are people that you know, people that you interact with, people that you in your workplace, they see how you live. They want to know what's different. You have the opportunity far greater than I, far greater than Pastor Jerry, far greater than any of our other pastors or staff or anybody to share how Jesus is changing the world. I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you, you have the opportunity to encourage some people in our church. You might have an opportunity to encourage people that are outside of our church that come for the first time. I want to challenge you to share your testimony, share your story, and listen to this. It might be the whole story. It might be a portion of it. Some of you, you might think to yourself, I don't know if I have much of a story to share. Do you know that God has been weaving the entirety of every single detail of your story? Every ounce of it, God has been in the midst of it. Don't discredit what God is doing in the midst of your life. He is using it. He's using it for a purpose. It might be to encourage people in our church who might be facing the same things that you are. It might be to help challenge somebody who, from the outside, isn't really following Jesus. And you can tell them about the hope that's greater than what they're facing. And so here's what I want to do. Again, I'm going to bring out the green Connect card that's in the back seat in front of you. Right? If you're interested, write your name, share my story. Your name, share my story. Write it down, put it in one of the black boxes, and we want to connect with you. We want to hear your story. One of my dreams here at the church is to have video testimonies of God's faithfulness. That's what I really want. That's what I dream of. I think that's what changes people a lot of times. God's word, but how people are living out that word is so crucial. I want to challenge you to share your testimony this morning. But listen to this. It's more about sharing something, more than just words that you're sharing about the good news of Jesus. It's actually living it out as well. And it's, you know, it's the things that we do in everyday life that if you go back to the verses, it's not just words coming, it's your example, the way that you are modeling what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And so I want to ask this question to you this morning. If I were to go to a coworker, if I were to go to a friend, somebody that knows you, maybe not super well, but knows you, and I were to ask them, hey, did they know that you are a follower of Jesus? How would they respond? How would they respond? On one end, they could say, they've told me that they're a follower of Jesus, but the way they live, you know, the way they talk about people and gossip about people behind their backs, the way that they get angry all the time or forceful, the way that they talk inappropriately, the way they do things behind people's backs. See the kicker. You know what we call those people? People that share they and believe about something, but they don't actually live it out. Do you know what we call that? It starts with an H. A hypocrite. Hypocrite. That's a bad testimony. Prayerfully, we're all living in accordance to what God shares, but maybe we need to do a self-evaluation of how we're living. Maybe we need to ask other people, hey, am I actually living in accordance to what God says? There's other people, and I think this would probably be most of us. I think I find myself here the most. Individuals that if we ask the same question, hey, did you know that they were a follower of Jesus? And they would say, no, I had no clue. We're undercover secret agent Christians, right? Where we come here on Sunday, but man, nobody knows that we're followers of Jesus the rest of the days of the week. Can I tell you something? As bad as the hypocrite might be, that might be even worse, if not just as worse. You know why? Because the same person could come and they could see that you were living a great example, right? That you are living a good life, and that's all they will see. And yet, you have a hope that's greater than anything else in this world. You have a treasure that you have the opportunity to share. And yet, if they found out that you were a follower of Jesus and they didn't know, you know what they would ask the question? They'd ask, man, I thought they cared about me. Why wouldn't they want to share that hope with me? You see what happened? Your testimony, even for being a great, religious, holy person, can be shaped by not even sharing, omitting the words that God has called you to share with other people. You have a hope that we need to share. Both of them are inseparable. There needs to be a sharing about Jesus, and there also needs to be a living out what it looks like to follow Jesus. They are in tandem. They cannot be separated. And listen, we see this with the Thessalonians. They live this out. They live the perfect blend of sharing about Jesus and living for Jesus. And it gets to the point where Paul, Silas, Timothy, they're going to different places throughout the region outside of Thessalonica. And this is what people are saying. There's reports that are coming about of this kind of reception that we had among you. That these Thessalonians are starting to get traction, get word. And this report is something like this, that these individuals are turning, the Thessalonians are turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That simple. You know, there's some powerful truth to that. And yet, I think for many of us, you know, we don't realize the impact that some of the idols, some of the gods that we face in our own lives. Let me try and bring this back a little bit. I had shared with you that there were two things that were afflicting the Thessalonians in terms of following Jesus. The first was political leader worship. The second was what? It was Greek god worship. That was number two. I'm going to put on the screen here the Greek gods. Go back here. The Greek gods. Many of us know these Greek gods from school, from elementary school or middle school or whatever. This is the PG version of these guys. If you guys can move the slide one back, please, that'd be great. We know about some of these guys, but we know about Zeus, we know about Poseidon, we know about Hades. You know, we hear about some of these guys. And yet, for the Thessalonians, they had two that they really worshiped the most. These two ended up having incredible influence on the culture. It was so ingrained in the culture. The first is in this top right-hand corner. His name is Dionysus. Dionysus. You might not be able to tell, but he is the Greek god of wine, of drunkardness, really. The second is in the bottom right-hand corner, second to the right, and her name is Aphrodite. You might have heard of her before. She is the Greek goddess of love, of sex, of pleasure. And you can start to see just from those two gods what their culture was engrossed in, the things that they faced, that they were a culture that was engrossed in pleasure. And they had this philosophy, they had this mindset that is, and you can tell with the idea of wine and drunkenness and sexuality and pleasure is that, you know, we only live once. We don't have a hope beyond this grave, so we might as well live our best life. You only live once. And if we're going to live once, well, we better get to do the most hedonistic, the most pleasurable things that we want. Things like getting drunk all the time and things like having sex with whoever we want, when we want, and how we want it. This is the culture that the Thessalonians were ingrained in, the things that they ended up having to get uprooted out of. And listen to me. We might not be worshiping these Greek gods on the screen, but we're worshiping other gods, other idols, and those things, they're not packaged up as these kind of mythical people, but they're dressed up in different ways. Let me explain. These are some of the idols that we might face, that you might face, that we are tempted to follow. Things like pleasure and power, things like success or achievement, money and possessions, comfort, security, control, relationships and family. We don't think of that one, but it's true. Affirmation, validation, we seek for those things. We seek to root our things in a certain identity. We try and find self-worth in things outside of God. We worship our busyness. We worship our perfection. I want you to notice something with this list. I want you to think through what this idol might be for you, if anything. But what I want you to notice is a lot of these things that are on the screen, they're not necessarily bad things. Pleasure in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. We might take an extreme, yes. Power, success, achievement, some of these things aren't bad things. It's when they become the thing, that's when it becomes the issue. When we usurp where God should be and we pursue one of these other things, I'll give you an example. For all the parents and the families in the room, I put relationships and family on here because one of the idols today for a lot of parents is our children. We put them on a pedestal and we revolve everything that we do around them. And it goes with any one of these. We revolve our world around them. And you know what? We put all of our stock in these things, all of our time, all of our energy in these things. And, you know, they provide some satisfaction to begin with. But you know what? Over time, it doesn't satisfy for as long as we thought it would. You know, we thought pleasure would really make us feel better, but we're always wanting more. Same with the rest of the list. And so we either keep going back to that thing or we switch to something different, hoping that it will provide a different effect. And it stays the same. And you know what Paul shares with us? He shares that the wages of idolatry, the wages of sin is what? Death. Physical, spiritual, death. What ends up happening, because we have chosen one of these other things, when we've had the opportunity, can we either choose God or do we choose one of these other things? We have chosen one of these other things more than we wish to say. And we choose that thing and choose that thing, and we neglect God, we disobey God, we do whatever we want, and it's because of that, because we have chosen idolatry over him, that we deserve punishment for our disobedience. And listen, this is what we try and realize is that when we try and get out of these things, out of these idols that we are worshiping, there's a point where we're so ingrained in it that it's so difficult to get out, and you don't know how. There's a lot of bad news with this passage of idols, but listen, the Thessalonians were able to turn away from it. How were they able to turn away from it? Well, it's the good news that the Thessalonians have to share with us this morning. The good news that there was a man that came, his name was Jesus, and Jesus came onto this earth, lived a perfect life on your behalf, and he came as your substitute. When you were pursuing idolatry, he lived out the law, lived out following God perfectly, so much so that he came in your place so that where the wrath should have been on you, he took upon himself so that you might be freed from it. And that's why the Thessalonians can say, because not only did he die on the cross for your sins, he rose to new life, he was raised from the dead, and it's because of this Jesus who delivers you, saves you from the wrath to come. And it's because of that hope that we have that these Thessalonians, just like you all, are waiting for his son from heaven. Where we know that Jesus will return one day. We wait for Jesus to return one day. But until that time, we live for Jesus in the midst of it. Some of you today might need to find a spiritual mentor. You might need to find somebody that's spiritually ahead of you that you need to follow and just walk alongside and ask for guidance and wisdom. Help them disciple you, learn about God's word and understand it. There's some of you this morning, you know, maybe we need to take a step back and look at who's really influencing us. Take a look at those five friends that we talked about that are really taking us in the wrong direction. Some of us need to step up and be bold about being Christian influencers. We know enough, we believe enough, we are living what we're talking about. Let's actually talk about it. with other people. Some of us need to share our story this morning, but you know, there might be a lot of us today that need to lay down some idols. And so I don't know what those idols are for you today. It might be on the screen, it might be something different. But here's what I want to do. I just want to spend some time just in reflective prayer, just asking God, what are these idols that are in my life? What are these things that are enslaving me? God, I want to lay them down at your feet today. What are those things? It might be some of these other things. Some of you today might not know who this Jesus is. And you really want to know how to follow him. And if that's you today, God, man, would you just talk to myself today? It's okay. You can come on up. I'm sure there'll be other pastors in the back as well. Would you just talk to one of us and share, hey, I want to know who this Jesus is. We want to provide an opportunity for you. Time for prayer. And so we're going to dim the lights down. We're going to spend some time, just a few minutes, just pray. And I'll close our service in prayer this morning.